The letter of Paul to Titus, chapter 1. We are going through the series of qualifications of elder or a pastor or overseer. It is very interesting that those who are called to serve, they were called to serve the Church of Christ, whom Christ gave his life. Those who are serving, those who are ministering the church, they should serve that church because of Christ, what he has done for the church. But there is a fact that those who are serving the church of Christ, they must have higher qualification. These verses are very relevant for us, because even for you, it is very important that you should know what are the required things that you should have, what are the qualifications you should have to serve the Church of Christ. But we came to know that a person who wants to become an elder must have only one qualification. If you see these verses, he must be a man is above reproach. Again, he talks about verse 7, the overseer must be above reproach. Then we know that he must have above reproach. The one who is not accused of sins and godless life, he must have high level good reputation in the church and outside of the church. Paul gives the different areas that an elder must be above reproach. Paul gives three areas which an elder must be above reproach. The first one is his family life. The second area an elder must be above reproach is in his heart. That's what we have seen last week. In his conduct, in his character. The third area in which he must be above reproach is his handling of the Word of God. How he is devoted to the Word of God. Pastor Sammy has given example, illustration of sandwich. Just I want to give one more example. Just look at up. You can see ceiling fan, right? You can see three plates are there, right? So three things are important. If someone selling the fan which has only two blades, will you buy that? No, you need to see three blades, right? More than three blades. But here we have three areas an elder must be blameless. Even though he is very good in his family life, even though he has good character, good conduct, he has good heart, but if he is not able to teach, if he is not able to defend the gospel, the truth, he is disqualified. Pastor Sammy said many times as a professor, when he is teaching preaching class, when he is listening a person who is teaching preaching, we cannot hear that person sometimes, right? So he says humbly, you are not qualified to be elder because you are not able to teach. The pastor should have this quality. This one also very important, even though you have family life, even though you have a good character, but you should have, you must be above reproach in handling of the Word of God. Just, we can read it. Titus chapter 1, verse 5 to 9, it reads like this. Titus chapter 1, verse 5 to 9. For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains, and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. Namely, if any man is above reproach, the husband of one wife, having children who believe, not accused of dissipation or rebellion. For the overseer must be above reproach, as God's steward, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, not pugnacious, not fond of sordid gain, but hospitable, loving what is good, sensible, just, devout, self-controlled. Then he comes, the third area that a man of God must be above reproach, that is, holding fast to the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. The theme of our verse 9 is, which I have given, the third area an elder must be above reproach is, an elder must devote himself to doctrine. An elder must devote himself to doctrine. Because it says, verse 9 says, holding fast the faithful word which is in accordance with the teaching. Look at the verbal phrase, the holding fast to the faithful word. The main word that you should focus in this phrase is the word, the word. He must devote himself, hold fast to the word. What does it mean, the word, in this context? The word refers the message or doctrine. Word can refer the words, but here the message, doctrine, that was given by God. To understand that word, Acts chapter 15 verse 32 says, Judas and Silas, also being prophets themselves, encouraged and strengthened the brethren with lengthy message. Lengthy message. The same word used there also. Here the word means, refers to the message, doctrine. The word means only doctrine which they have learned. This is the message and the doctrine that was built by the word of God. The elder should hold fast to the message, doctrine that are in the word of God, that are in the scriptures. What does it mean to hold fast? Answer is to have a strong attachment to someone or something. That is the Greek idea. Cling to, be devoted to. Every pastor, brothers, every pastor should have a strong attachment to the doctrines. He must cling to the doctrine. He must cling to the message. He must be devoted to the word of God, the doctrine. Elder must be blameless in his attachment to the word of God. If he is not attached to the word of God, he is disqualified. That is the idea. That is the idea. Even though you have good character, even though you have everything in this order, but if you are not able to attach with the word of God, if you are not loving the word of God, if you are not spending time with the word of God, then you are disqualified. What will happen after sometimes, if you are not meditating word of God, if you are not attached to the word of God, you will be disqualified in two areas also. Because you are not understanding the qualifications. Even though he is blameless in his family life, in his conduct, in his character, he must attach to the word of God. He must read, he must meditate the scriptures. That is you and me. I am repeating again and again that an elder must attach to the sound teaching of the word, the sound doctrine, because look at this verse, holding fast, right? Verse 9 says, holding fast. It is not a verb, it is a participle verb. It is not participle, which means it is not like normal thing. It is a imperative participle. If you understand the idea of Greek, he is commanding actually in this. Sometimes participle can be used imperative. So he is saying, he is asking that you should hold fast. You should do it. The idea is you should hold fast to the doctrine, an ongoing state. The Greek text is saying that present tense, an ongoing state, you need to be attached to the word of God. If you have children, then you can understand easily what it means to be attached to something or cling to someone. When you have a little children, when I'm talking about, they always be running after mommy and daddy, right? If you think about my Raya, mommy is in the kitchen, she goes to mommy. She wants to cut some onions. If mommy is in the hall, she comes to hall. Mommy is in the bedroom, she comes to bedroom. When we are sleeping in the bedroom, she wants to sleep with us. She wants us. She desires us. She doesn't want to live outside of us. In the same way, brothers, same way. How a children attached to their mummy daddy, small children, in the same way, pastors and elder must attach to the word of God. He must cling to the word of God. That's what Paul is saying. So many times, brothers, pastors are very busy with other things. They won't study the word of God. They don't have time to study the word of God. But Paul is encouraging. The Holy Spirit is encouraging us. We must be devoted to doctrine, the message. Do you have an attachment to the word of God? Do you have a strong commitment, attachment to the word of God in an ongoing way? Without interruption, that is the idea. Without interruption, you need to hold fast. Paul helps us, all of us, to have an attachment to the word by speaking, following truth. Your lives must be centered on the word of God. Here we have two goals of an elder who devotes himself to doctrine. The first goal of an elder who devotes himself to doctrine is clinging to true doctrine. Clinging to true doctrine. Because it says, verse 9, it says, holding fast to the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching. He is giving what kind of the doctrine you should run after. The goal of an elder, he must cling to true doctrine. Two characteristics of true doctrine. The first characteristic of true doctrine is a reliable doctrine. The reliable doctrine. Look at verse 9. It says, the faithful word. Holding fast to the faithful word. The elders have to hold fast to the faithful word. Not unfaithful word, faithful word. The meaning of this word is faithful, is about being worthy of belief, trustworthy, dependable, reliable. The word of God, the doctrine of God, the message of God are trustworthy, dependable, reliable, being worthy of belief. Anyone can believe in the word of God. That's what it says. You can trust, you can depend on it. But the idea is the elder should devote himself on the faithful word. Look at Titus chapter 3 verse 8. He says again, this is a trustworthy statement. Trustworthy. You need to cling to the trustworthy word of God. You need to cling to the reliable doctrine, not unreliable doctrine. Paul recommends what kind of doctrine? The word that the elder should hold fast, devote. That is the faithful word. All scriptures in the Bible are worthy of belief. Dependable, reliable. The writings of prophets and apostles, all doctrines that come from the inspired scripture are reliable. You need to cling to the faithful word. You need to run after faithful word, reliable word, not other words. That's what he's saying. That is the qualification of elder. If someone is running after unreliable word, philosophy, psychology, and thinking about other things, worldly philosophies, he is not qualified. The one who is devoted, clinging to the faithful word, the word of God, which is written in this Bible, in this book. Those are qualified. Those are holding fast to the true doctrine. Why the word of God is reliable? If you think about, for example, Revelation chapter 21 verse 5, it says, he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. Jesus himself said, these words are faithful and true. You need to cling to these words. Not only Revelation, any scripture, any word in the Bible are faithful, reliable. We can trust. We can believe why it is faithful. Why we need to cling to faithful, believable word of God. Because It is faithful to save us. It is trustworthy to sanctify us. If you think about how precious is the word of God, Psalm 19, we can see that. Why the word of God is faithful? Why doctrines of Paul is, our apostles are faithful? Psalm 19, verse 7 to 7 onwards, it is like this. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Did you see the usefulness of the word of God? Why it is faithful? The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart, enlightening the eyes. Verse 9, it says, enduring forever. Verse 9, part B, it says, they are righteous altogether. Verse 10, they are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, the dripping of the honeycomb. Did you see? That's the reason why it is faithful. The word of God is faithful because it sanctifies us, it saves us. God saves only through the word of God, only through doctrine which he has revealed in the word of God. You need to cling to that doctrine. You need to cling to that message. Brothers, all heresies and teachings of human traditions are not believable, reliable words. Like messages of dreams and visions are not reliable doctrines. And also, you may not dream, you may not believe those things. But don't create your ideas as doctrine of God. There is a tendency that even though you won't believe those things, but sometimes you add your own ideas as scripture. That is the reason why you must preach the word of God, why you must cling to the word of God. You need to preach the word of God day by day, week by week. Only the word of God, not your own ideas. Not your own ideas. Why do you want to prove Christ from other sources? Sometimes some pastors, they won't open the Bible, just they think about some other sources. Just they will quote that verse and they will prove Christ is the Lord. Why you are doing? This is very precious to you, brothers. Don't follow those kind of people. You need to prove every point of yours in the scripture, in the scripture. We move on. Second characteristics of the true doctrine is the revealed doctrine. It is not only the faithful doctrine, it is also the revealed doctrine. Verse 9, holding fast to the faithful word which is in accordance with the teaching. The idea is the standard of faithful word. The faithful word should be in accordance with, corresponding with to the teaching. The word, message, a doctrine is to be in accordance with the teaching. What is the meaning of the teaching? The teaching is the content of teaching, content of messages. The idea is an elder must hold fast to the doctrine which is accordance what was already taught, what was already revealed, what was already delivered, already for the saints. So you need to think about your doctrine. Whatever doctrines you believe, it should be connected. It should be similar to the apostle teachings that was already taught. Where we can get the revealed doctrine? Again, we need to go back to the scriptures. Jude chapter 17. Jude says to his audience, he says, but you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ. You remember the words of apostle of Lord Jesus Christ. Don't remember other things. Don't run after other things. You need to remember the apostle's teaching. That's what Jude is saying. Even Paul is saying same thing. Why we must listen to the doctrine that was taught by apostles, taught by prophets? Because they were apostles of Lord Jesus Christ. The meaning of apostle is sent one, or one whom the Lord Jesus Christ sent. They did not come by themselves. They came because of Christ. They did not write by themselves. They wrote everything Christ told them to write. Whatever Christ told them to write, whatever the Holy Spirit told them to write, they wrote. That's why we need to remember. That's why we need to cling those doctrine that was revealed to us. That was revealed to us. A man of God must only hold fast to the message, doctrine of the scripture that was spoken and was written by inspired authors. Is there any possibility to devote ourselves, ourselves to unrevealed, untaught doctrine? Answer is yes, there is. If you are not careful about your life, if you are not studying Word of God, one day you may listen to unrevealed, undelivered the messages. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 17 to 18. We can see that. People will listen the doctrines which comes outside of the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 17 to 18. And their talk will be spread like gangrene, which means like a cancer. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus. Did you see? The Philetus, Hymenaeus, they were teaching. Their talk will spread. Their talk is like message, doctrine. Whatever they are speaking, whatever they are teaching, they are like cancer. What happened, verse 18, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and they upset the faith of some. Why they are upsetting faith of some? Because some of them are listening to those doctrines, to those messages. They are listening to those kind of people. They thought, see, our pastor also preaching, they are also preaching, I can listen to this person also. No, you should not listen to anybody else. You need to think about whether he is preaching the sound doctrine, the word of God, or not. One of the content of the teaching is resurrection has already taken place. There are many content that are not revealed, taught by apostles, and people are teaching those things. Another example is, there will be no resurrection. Some people say, there is no rapture. There is no second coming. People will speak those things. They are not following word of God. Just they speak out of their mind. We need to worship. We are going through a series of Colossians. Paul's teachers are encouraging. We need to worship angels. We need to follow human tradition. We need to follow all festivals. Where those things are coming from? They are not coming from the text. They are coming from their mind. They are creating their own doctrines. Those things are not revealed from the word of God. There is a possibility. Brothers, be careful. Be careful. Whatever doctrine that the elders are holding fast, that doctrine should be taught by apostles, should be taught in the Bible. It should be old teaching, not new teachings. If someone says that I have a new revelation from God, but which is contradicting the doctrines that are in the scriptures, you should not devote yourself to it. We know one pastor in Andhra Pradesh and Telangana, he used to preach like, yeah, if you are saved, Christ covered your sins. Yeah, he is speaking fact, but what he says, no, whatever you do, even though you live in sin, Christ will cover your sin. You no need to think about holiness and sanctification. There are so many people are following after him. Is it true? No. We should not imitate. You know who he is? He is son-in-law of former chief minister. He is brother-in-law of present chief minister. Because he is great person, because he has great relationship with great people, will you follow those kind of people? Because these people are saying their own things. Whoever it is, you should check their doctrine, their teaching with the word of God. with the word of God. I heard through Pastor Sammy that he was sharing in his sermon that, do you know the greatest book called Knowing God that was written by J.A. Packer? He was a godly man. He know God, he loves God, but what happened, no? Even he himself compromised that he is willing to accompany with Roman Catholic people. Then he is willing, he signed that he is accepting Roman Catholic people in missions. Where he is bringing those things? Even though he is godly man, but he is compromising. He is not thinking biblically. So what I'm saying is, some false teachers are teaching undoctrine, which are not doctrines, which are not in the Bible, even though some good preachers can preach sometimes things which are not in the Bible. Even me, if I am speaking something which is against the Bible, you should not listen to me. You should not listen to me. You should not follow me. That's the idea we must learn. You should not hold fast, cling to the doctrine of false teachers. But doctrines are messages of apostles alone. Alone. There is a tendency. You think, I know Greek and Hebrew. I may not fall. You may fall if you are not careful. Please listen, brothers. The second goal of an elder who devotes himself to doctrine is cultivating an expertise in applying doctrine. Cultivating an expertise in applying doctrine. He should know what kind of doctrine he should cling to. At the same time, he should know the purpose why he should cling to. He must have the goal why he has to cling the faithful word, so that he can do some ministry with the word of God. He can do ministry with the word of God. Look at verse 9, it says, so that he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine, to refute those who contradict. Look at the word so that. It refers to the purpose, the goal of holding fast the faithful word. There is a great purpose to be devoted to the faithful word. Paul is not saying, Christ is not saying, be whole, hold fast to the word of God unnecessarily. He is telling so that you can serve the people with the word of God. Look at the phrase, he will be able, he will be able. That refers to, he will be expert to something. Able means to be expert, to being capable, to be capable. The same word used in Hebrew chapter 11 verse 19, there God is capable of rising dead. How God is capable of rising dead? We cannot raise dead people, but we are capable of serving people with the word, applying the word. So you should not say that I am not capable, I don't know, I am such a humble person, I am very weak person. You should not say, if you say that, you are disqualified. To be a pastor, you should be capable of teaching. You should be capable of using the word of God, whichever you learn, to apply in your ministry. That is the goal a pastor must have. Two areas that an elder must be an expert in. The first area that an elder must be an expert in is instructing people in healthy doctrine. Instructing people in healthy doctrine. Look at verse 9. It says, he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine. The meaning of the word exhort is to call to one side. It means call for. It means instruct, teach. It has the idea of encouraging, appealing the people. That's the idea. One of the purposes of being attached to the faithful word is to urge, to appeal, to encourage congregation or individual members in sound doctrine, in sound doctrine. The idea is being skilled in teaching, being skilled in teaching. The 1 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 3 verse 2 says, an overseer, must be above reproach. He says the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable. Then he says able to teach, able to teach, able to exhort. You must be capable of teaching. Paul gives the place where should a pastor exhort people. That is in sound doctrine, sound doctrine. The man of God must encourage, instruct the sound doctrine to the people. We know that the sound doctrine means in Greek healthy doctrine, which gives good health to the soul. It will produce the spiritual health to the people. That is, it means it produces godliness. We know that the instruction we have, Pradeep, whoever is sick, he gives some instructions. If they follow those instructions, that person will be healed. He gave some instruction, I am following, I am getting better. Why I am saying that? The instructions of doctors produce physical health, which is temporary. But instructions of a pastor produce spiritual health, and which is permanent health. We know that spiritual health is more important than spiritual physical health. Do you know, brothers? God is going to use you as a tool to heal the wounds of sinners, to sanctify the sinners, to break hardened hearts which are not beating for God, which are not beating for God. God is going to use you for that, as a tool, as a tool. So while you are instructing, while you are exhorting, while you are begging them, while you are interceding them, please listen to the word of God. You need to do that. What I am doing, you need to do whenever you preach. That's the idea. Pastors who do not know the faithful word, they struggle. They struggle. If someone asks a question about some doctrine, what does it mean about rapture? If your pastor, you are struggling about basic things, you are not attached to the word of God. You don't know word of God. Two kinds of teachers in the schools, we know, right? The teachers who know their subject well and teach well, explain the things very nicely to children. Other kind of teachers, they do not explain properly because they don't know the subject. Did you get my point? Who do students respect more? Who do students run after whenever they have doubt? Who will be listened to by students most? Sometimes in private schools, if teacher is not able to teach, the principal tell, please resign, because children are not able to understand what you are teaching. These are facts, right? Same thing will happen in the church. If you are preaching, if you are teaching, no one is understanding, everybody is sleeping. If one or two sleeping, their problem. If most of them are sleeping, that is your problem. You don't know how to teach because you don't know how to explain the things well. You don't know how to instruct the people. But you should be capable. You should be capable. That's what Paul is saying. That is your goal. That is your goal. I know one teacher, when he talks about mathematics, like matrix. Matrix are very easy things, if you know about maths. The easy thing, think that one. When he teaches very nicely. No one will teach like him when he has confidence in his subject. When he teach about sin theta, cos theta, do you know? If you know mathematics, he will be like shivering and he is not able to talk loud, and he has some things written on his hand, he will watch and he will write, he solve the problem by watching things. He will struggle a lot. Why I am saying that? Some of us, most of the pastors, they are very confident. When they know the subject, they are very weak. They are not able to speak with confidence because they are not understanding what it means. Why I am saying these all things? You should hold fast to the word of God. You should understand the word of God. You need to study the word of God. You don't know fully, I know that. Even I don't know fully. I don't know fully. But you need to try yourself. Tell yourself to study the word of God again and again, again and again, so that you can instruct, so that you can exhort the people whenever they needed you. Whenever they needed you.
We know sometimes some difficult passages will come. Don't give up. Don't give up. Go recommend, ask some people, and which is the good commentary which will help me to understand this difficult passage. Go that and study that. Understand that. Know yourself. Gain your knowledge about the word of God, not for your, so that you can become big shot and to become prideful, because to serve the church of Christ. That is your goal. That is your, why you are understanding. First of all, you are learning. You are growing. Second of all, as a minister, you need to help others. If you have those kind of goal, you will grow more. That thing I can tell with very sure. You will grow. If you love your church, you will grow more. Because you are studying the word of God to feed them, to pastor them. Brothers, this is the command which we have, which is given to us, so that we can teach, we can exhort. Don't throw your systematic theology and notes. Keep teaching yourself those doctrines, so that you can help the souls of God's children. Build your doctrine by reading the word of God by yourself. So you have like systematic theology, right? As a student, scholar. So what you do, whenever you are preparing sermon, whenever you are getting new thoughts about sovereignty of God, whenever you are getting a new thing about love of God, just you add that information into that systematic theology notes. Just build your systematic theology, build your doctrine, so that you can serve, you can exhort. Don't be satisfied with the notes that was given by professors. Don't be satisfied. Keep adding things. Keep adding. Build your notes. Build your notes. So that you can exhort. You can teach. I think it is enough. As I believe. The second area that an elder must be expert in. The first area an elder must be expert in. Exhorting. Teaching people in healthy doctrine. The second area is correcting people who contradict. Correcting people who contradict. Why Paul is saying this? Why even Christ is saying this? We need to correct others. I have two shirts which are very hard to iron. One of shirt is this. Even though I am doing ironing, it is not coming neatly. So I wore like that. It looks like neat, but after wearing, it is not looks good. So what I have to do, I should not iron by myself. I need to give this shirt to special person who irons better than me, who uses more force. In the same way, brothers, some people are not willing to listen easily. Some people are very hard. They cannot change easily. For those kind of people, we need to correct. We need to correct. That is the idea. Verse 9, it says, so that he will be able to refute those who contradict. The meaning of refute is to convict. It has the idea of exposure, negation of false teachers or sinners. It has the idea of correction, correcting people to express a strong disapproval of someone's action. You need to disagree with some people's action, some people's theories. You need to disagree, strongly disagree. Someone says, you can go to heaven by your works. Will you agree that? Are you nice with that person? Yeah, what a great statement that you have given. What a blessing word you have given. You should not say that. You say that you will go to hell, man. You will go to hell. Please listen to the word of God. See, you are correcting that person. You are correcting that person in love, with humility. You should not agree with everybody else. Everybody else. Don't be very nice. I was listening. Pastor Sam is counseling Badal. The one of the characteristics of a husband is, don't be very nice every time. Whenever your wife is always doing sin, but you are so nice. Okay, do your sin. Do your sin. You should not do like that. In the same way, you need to disagree with false teachers, even sinners, when they are contradicting to the word of God. To understand exact meaning of contradiction, look at Acts. Or you can listen, Acts 13, verse 45, it says, "But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. It is something speaking against to the teaching of God, the teachings of apostles. It has something living against the teaching of God. The Greek idea is a pastor, an overseer, must be capable to convince, to expose those who contradict continually. You know, Martin Luther corrected the Pope and challenged the Roman Catholic system and its belief. He preached and stood for the doctrine of grace. He wrote 95 theses and corrected the teachings of popes and the people who follow them. He was called to recant of all his books, but he did not recant because they are contradicting to the word of God. They are contradicting to the doctrine of soteriology, how a person will be saved. The only reason he corrected them, only reason he rebuked them indirectly, the reason is he was capable of doing things because of his strong attachment to the word of God. He has strong attachment to the word of God. He knows what it means. He understood by grace of God. So he is able to correct them. He is able to stand for the doctrine. That is the thing you and me has to do, brothers. Brothers, don't think that one or two people who contradict the faithful word, but many contradict healthy doctrine. Why I'm saying it is plural. Those who contradict means many. Many people will contradict the word of God. So you need to correct them. You need to stand for the truth. An elder must be able to correct those who speak against sound doctrine and also those who live against the sound doctrine as well. Why I'm saying, if you understand the context of Titus, how Paul is using this word rebuke, look at Titus chapter 1, 10 to 13, it says, "For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, who must be silenced because they are upsetting whole families," right? Then he says, "One of themselves, a prophet, their own said, Cretans always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons." Verse 13 he says, "This testimony is true. For this reason, reprove them severely so that they may be sound in the faith." How Paul is using reproof, correcting, you have to correct as an elder those who speak against the doctrine of God. You need to correct people, those who live against the word of God. Did you got my point? Those who contradict the sound teaching sometimes, even in the church, they are those who contradict the sound teaching through their sinful life. You must be able to discern, observe their sinful lifestyle as a pastor, as a father of that church, spiritual father. You should correct them. It is true because look at chapter 2. If you understand the chapter 2, he instructs Titus on the godliness of older men, verse 2. About godliness of older women, 3 to 4. He talks about the godliness of young women, 4 to 5. He talks about young men, verse 6 to 8. Then he says, chapter 2, verse 15, "These things speak, exhort, and reprove. There are some preachers, pastors, who speaks against the word of God, the doctrine of God. There are some people in the churches who live against the sound doctrine. In those cases, you need to correct them. An elder, an overseer, must be able to correct them, expose them of their sins, to convict them of their sins, their errors. They will repent of their sins. Some of them will repent of their sins. Some of them not willing to repent of their sins.
But whether they repent or not, Paul is not talking about they will listen to you definitely. Paul is not talking about you will win them definitely. Paul is talking here only you are able to correct them. Some people will listen, praise God. Some people will not listen. You leave that person, those people in the hand of the Lord. But you should be capable of knowing what is wrong, what is good. That is the idea. That is the idea here. Some of you are brothers. It is a temptation for every pastor. We are weak in correcting others. You don't want to be trouble. You are too nice to the congregation. You don't correct them. Even though text is saying, if someone is sinning, the text is saying, but you change the tone of the text. Because you love them. Because they love you in some other ways. Don't think those things. You need to correct them. When you are attached to the word of God, you cannot be silent if someone is contradicting the sound doctrine. Sometimes you are afraid that the good relationship that you have with those people will be broken. It will come, brothers. It will come. But with humble heart, with love, you need to correct those people. That is a qualification of elder, right? You need to correct them. That's why Christ put you in that place. Not always criticizing, always running after things, always critical. I am not saying that one. Those who are living in sin, those who are contradicting sound doctrine, because of them, the Christ's reputation is killed, destroyed by unbelievers. Those kind of things, you need to correct them. Sometimes you need to discipline them, send them out of the church if they are not listening. That is your job. It is a job of protecting the church. But no, we are afraid of people. We are afraid of things. If I send that person, maybe now you are maybe strong. When people comes, if rich person is doing something wrong, you cannot correct that person because you will lose offering. Even though you lose offering, send that person out of the church. If he is destroying the church, you need to correct them. If someone is able to listen, if he will change, that's good, that's good. But you need to correct them. Even Christ has done that one. Even Paul has done that one. All apostles has done like that. Those who are contradicting the word of God, they should be corrected. They should be refuted. I still remember what Pastor Chris said. That was first initial class, like spiritual formation. I hope he would have told you the same thing. He said like this, if you don't want to be troubled because of people, if you expect all nice things from the congregation, from outside of the church, as a pastor, don't become pastor. Go and sell bananas. That's what he said. If you are expecting all nice things in your ministry, you cannot be a pastor. You need to expect those things. You need to receive those things. So many negative things will come, but leave those things. Your aim is serving the church, shepherding the flock of Christ. That is your aim. But here I have some tips to avoid, to guard yourself from some problematic things when you are correcting. Don't correct sinning members. Don't say sins of members by forcing your text, even though text is not saying about that sin. Did you see? Because you have seen that sin of that person that week, but text is not saying, you are coming and telling that sin. But people can understand, this person is attacking me. Even though you are saying true, but you are not following exposition. When exposition comes, you know that person is doing that sin, but that sin is come, you can tell. You can correct them. But don't force to apply the sins of your congregation whenever you are preaching. These are the things I am learning, I am applying in my life. But don't correct rebellious sinning members. Those who are rebel, they cannot listen if one person is speaking. Those kind of people will be dealt with other leaders. We need to go them and Tell that person, request that person, see, you are doing something wrong. You are destroying fellowship of church. You are destroying love of a church because of your actions. You are, because of your thinkings, because of your speeches. So you need to deal with other. You cannot deal a single. What will happen if you are attacking a rebellious church member, sinning member? He or she will destroy your reputation. That is sure. Because no, you are not careful about correcting. These things will come. These are practical things that I am sharing with you. We need to dwell with other leaders when rebellious person is sinning. Then don't waste your time with those who do not listen to the right doctrine. But you need to correct them one time, two times, three times, as you wish. If they are not listening, don't waste your time. For example, false teachers, they cannot listen. They cannot listen. If you tell any false teachers, they cannot listen. Don't waste your time. Leave them in the land. Leave them to the Lord. Pray for them. But you should expose that person's false teaching to your congregation to protect that congregation. You need to expose. That person is there. He is teaching something else. Don't listen to him. But you need to expose. You need to expose. These are the ways you can correct others. There are many things, which just I have given something. An elder must devote himself to doctrine. We have seen two goals of an elder who devote himself to doctrine. First goal is clinging to true doctrine. Second one is cultivating an expertise in applying doctrine. Brothers, all men of God were useful for Christ because they were holding fast to the faithful word. For example, John Calvin wrote many commentaries and books. Spurgeon, who was Prince of Preachers, who attached to the word of God, who loves the word of God, they were qualified as elders and teachers because of their strong attachment, commitment to the word of God. We know Spurgeon preached many sermons. He wrote an autobiography, commentaries, books, devotionals, magazines, poetry and hymns. Many sermons were recorded as he spoke were translated into many languages in his time. While he is preaching, people are translating his sermons in many languages. Many Christians hold his writings in high regard among many devotional writings because he is holding fast. He was holding fast to the word of God. He was able to minister with the word of God because he was devoted to the word of God. When he died, I want to conclude with this. When he slept in Christ, 4 funerals, service were held. First service for at 11 o'clock for those who are relative, closely related for him. The second, the funeral at 3 p.m. was for ministers and students, pastors. The third one is 7 p.m. was for more general Christians. The fourth one is for orphans. 4 funerals has done. Memorial service were done for Charles Spurgeon. On the day of funeral, 800 extra policemen were on duty to control the crowd. They put extra trains and cabs and buses so that more people wants to see him, see his face. Even though he's died, rushing, so many people are rushing. They estimated total of 1 lakh people, they passed by Spurgeon's body, almost like how we see face, one by one will come and see the face, that person. 1 lakh people passed by Spurgeon. There are many people were standing in the streets to see him. Somehow God honored him for his glory because he changed many lives through his ministry. Why God used Spurgeon? Because he is attached to the word of God. He attached to the word of God. I am not expecting these things for my funeral service. But what I am saying, no, if you go to heaven, will Christ say that? Good and faithful servant. Will Christ say that? Everyone is departing from the truth. Everyone is running away from the truth. You, my servant, stood for me. You, my servant, cling to the word of God. Everyone is running away. Will Christ say that? Then you are blessed. Then you are blessed. God may help us to cling to the word of God, the doctrines that was revealed already. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for these words. Thank you, Lord, for calling us as your servants to serve your church. Lord, produce more desire, Lord, to work hard, to study your word. Lord, give us heart of love for your word so that we can understand who Christ is. Lord, give us, Lord, wisdom to understand the word of God so that we can exhort our people, teach our people, and give us courage and strength when we are correcting those who are contradicting the word of God. Lord, make us humble, Lord, while we are correcting and teaching. Lord, make us more humble. Help us, Lord, to love you more and more in our lives. Lord, help us, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need your grace and strength, peace to serve your church. Enable us, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray.